Well, good morning. Before we get started, I want to take a quick excursus into John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. If we were making our favorite dish, sort of say gumbo or jambalaya, this would be that ingredient that really just gives it that good taste to it. So, starting at verse 20, Jesus, he's praying to the Father on behalf of his disciples, and he says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me." Now, I don't know if you know how good this is. There is just so much good stuff in this passage, because here we have Christ, before he even went to the cross, he's praying for the body. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. He's praying for our unity. And he says, "Father, keep them as one, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us." And another thing, what he's saying is like, well, you know, it's obvious that the vast majority of people aren't going to believe just based on what the disciples have to say. He says, he refers to those who do believe. He says, those, you know, keep those as one. But the rest of them, he says, the world. "Father, keep them in us so the world may believe that you sent me." You know, this same world that we kind of scratch our heads wondering, you know, how are we going to get this gospel to them? How are we going to, you know, get through their thick skulls that Christ, he died for them? You know, here Jesus is really laying it out. He's saying, he's not telling us what the issue is going to be. He's just saying, I'm just going to pray for them. You know, "Father, just keep them as one. Keep them in unity." And so what this says to me is that it is very important that the church, that we as a body, that we remain in unity in faith. So going to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, we can pretty much divide this into two sections. You have chapters 1, 2, and 3 are Paul's his doctrinal statement, and chapters 4, 5, and 6 are his application. And so looking at chapter 4, I'll be concentrating on verses 3 through 6. That'll be my doctrinal statement, and 11 through 14, 15, that'll be my application. So starting with verse 3, it says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Now, there is a lot in there, and really this is a very good passage too. I mean, we could just eat off of this for the rest of our lives. There's so much meat in there, we don't even have to look at anything else. No, but here we have Paul. This is, to me, this is like Paul is giving us this New Testament Shema. If you're familiar with the Shema, you find this in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 5. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Here, Paul is, in light of Christ having come, us being baptized and having received the Holy Spirit, Paul is really laying it out of what it means to be one in God. And here it's like he's looking to this prayer that Jesus made in John, and he's explaining it. He's saying, well, this is what it means. This is how God is one, and this is how we remain one in him as well. He's saying through unity of the Spirit, through the bond of peace. Now, this word peace, it's key here, because it's not this type of peace that we kind of say as a passing, you know, "Hello, I'll see you later, peace." Not that type of peace. It's not the type of peace that we just have when we're not fighting. Not that type of peace either. We're back in the 60s. They were painting these big peace signs on these Volkswagen Beetles and on their face, on their bandanas, listening to Jimi Hendrix and just having a groovy old time. Not that type of peace. This is the type of peace that only comes from God. Only Christ can give us this peace. It's a sort of divine peace, a salvific peace, if you will. You know, this is a peace of knowing that We are under grace. Our soul is at rest because we know that we are under grace and that Christ died for us. And so Paul, he's saying, keep this unity of the Spirit through this peace. He's explaining, it's like to me looking at it, it's like a sort of mathematical equation. He used all these clever literary devices, and we'll go into that into the discussion, but he's really just laying out this blueprint for what it means to be one in God, and God being one, and for us how to maintain this unity in him. And so really, what does that mean? I mean, it's nice and wonderful church talk. We have to be one in the Spirit, and God is one, and all this unity. But in practical terms, how do we address that? What do we say about this? You know, honestly, I just found out myself. You know, I knew I was preaching on this passage for maybe about a month and a half now. And, you know, I came up with my doctrinal statement fairly easy, and but coming up with an application proved rather elusive. Actually, I didn't get this until last week. I had the opportunity to attend this youth retreat, this Thunder retreat with our children. And I want to be honest with you all. Can I be honest with you? Are you going to forgive me? I didn't want to go to this. I didn't. Wasn't that I didn't want to spend time with our kids? Far be from it. That's not it. I just had so much I had to do. I was just so busy. You know, I had finals I was taking. I was supposed to preach this last week, and I thought I actually found a way out. I came to Pastor Dave. I was like, hey, you know, I can't go because I'm supposed to preach this week. Yeah, no worries. We'll switch it around. All right. Thank you. But on top of all of that, I had to kind of convince my wife to let me go to this. You know, I'm going to go to this retreat and have fun with these children, so you can stay home with the child, with our baby, and, you know, have your good time. So, you know, I'm still working out that deal with her that I made to allow her. But anyway, so I kind of went into this thing as kind of with a poopy attitude. And I remember Jessica, she was asking me, she said, what do you think of this? I was like, you know, I think mainly that was because I was jealous, you know, because this was just awesome. They had all kinds of stuff. I mean, they had an awesome band. They had lights, food. I mean, all you could eat. I had more than my fair share of sausage and brownies and cookies and coffee and all that stuff. But me growing up in the Southern Baptist church, I didn't grow up with that. Church wasn't fun, especially youth church. It wasn't fun. If you looked like you were thinking about getting ready to have some fun, you were wrong. You know, you were going to get a smack on the back of the head or something. And so I'm like, this was some good stuff. I mean, really powerful message. Speaker, he gave a real powerful message. Well, as things came to a head that Saturday evening, the speaker, he kind of gave this invitational / rededication prayer. And he said, well, you know, if you've been touched by this message, if you feel compelled, I want you to pray this prayer with me. So everybody close your eyes. And we prayed. And he said, well, youth leaders, open up your eyes. And if you prayed this prayer, make eye contact with your youth leader. And so I was looking around, and quite a few children, they were making eye contact with their youth leaders. Okay, that's good. They're listening. They're learning something. And then we kind of broke off into our small discussion groups, and you know, we were pretty quiet because our kids, they knew all this stuff because, you know, I teach them Sunday school. No. But I just happened to glance across the room, and I saw this little girl, and she was just bawling. I mean, she was just bawling. Buried her head into her youth leader's arms, and just, I was like, oh, there's something good going on over there. And, well, there was other, you know, some emotion being stirred up around the room. Even in our group, there was a little bit of kindling of some emotion. Well, the next morning we had our youth leaders meeting, and they gave us the opportunity to share, these testimonies. And that youth leader, she said, you know, this child, she was just sitting there, just shaking. Like, you know, she didn't know what had come over her. This is a feeling that she had never felt before. And, And she said, yes. She said, no, that is God piercing your heart. He's calling you. And just cried. Didn't know what else to do but cry. She cried with her. And so for me to see that, just having to catch a glimpse of that, and then hearing that testimony, that's something that'll stay with me for the rest of my life. You know. And in that, I got my context. Now, I want to read to you, to really see this, I want to read to you verse 11, 12. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. I'm going to be honest with you. This didn't come as a context. It wasn't like God was saying, okay, there's your context. Go do it. No, this came as like a chastisement, you know. It was like God was saying to me, you see that? You see all these little children? You see all them? I'm calling them too. I'm calling them to the body. And you thought that you had other important things to do, things that took precedence over this, but I've equipped you for these works of service to build them up. You know, where would that little girl have been if that speaker hadn't come? If that speaker hadn't come and just poured out his life story? You know, that youth leader wasn't there to tell her, look, no, God is calling you. Respond. You know, where would they be? When we think about our children, if you want to know where we are as sort of as a body, as a whole, the disposition of the body of Christ, you need only but look to these little ones, these newborns, the ones that have been walking in the faith for a while, but they're just about ready to give up. They're one moment away from just giving away. You see, each and every one of us, we have our gifts. God has given us our gifts to build up one another. Here we have Jesus and Paul. They're explaining the importance of remaining in unity as the church. But here we see why. Because of these works, we are to build one another up. We are to pour ourselves out to one another. You know, I want you to imagine, if you can, a door. And walking through that door, the door just disappears and you're in this room and you're just surrounded by the entire body of Christ. Just imagine every believer just in this room and just as far as the eye can see. Imagine that little girl walking in that room and being greeted by the entire body of Christ saying, welcome, welcome to the body. You know, over here, we have these praise warriors that are going to just praise. They're going to give lift God up, and it's just going to motivate you. It's going to light a fire up under you. Over there, we have all of these prayer warriors. When you feel just like giving up, they're praying for you. They're going to lift you up. All of these teachers, all of these preachers, all of these apostles, they're going to pour their heart out into you to make sure that you are equipped for your job. You're going to know what it means to be one in Christ. Welcome. Welcome to the body. Imagine that. Imagine feeling down and just, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to make it today. I don't know if I can continue on in this faith. Imagine walking in that room and no, not today. We're praying for you. We've been with you every step of the way. You're not going to fall away today. We're going to stand together. We're not going to leave anyone behind. We're going to walk together. This is what it means to be one in the body, to be unified in the body. So that when we walk together, we're building one another up as one. You know, it says, one of the things he says here in verse 14, he says, let me go back to 13. It says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. What Paul is saying is that, you know, we're all in this together. Just as the old saying goes, we're only as strong as our weakest link. You know, if you're suffering, I'm suffering. And what he's basically saying, until we all reach that unity, that full knowledge, we're just a bunch of babies. That's all we are. He's putting himself, as an apostle, he's putting himself there. So you may say, I've been walking in this faith for so many years. Wonderful. If you're not pouring yourself out into those around you, We're not advancing. You're not advancing. We have to advance together as a body. Because as it says, Christ, he said, if you see me, you see the Father. Well, if we are the body of Christ and we are in unity of the Spirit, then when they see you, when they see me, they see the body. When they see the body, they see the Son. When they see the Son, they see the Father. And then the world, then they will believe that the Father, he loved them so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him would have everlasting life. Let us pray. Father, I just thank you. I pray that you just teach us to be in unity of spirit, Father. Show us the way. I know this is so very important that we just learn to put aside our petty differences and learn to build one another up, Father. Give us strength. Give us the wisdom, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.